Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship here in Kemeny Parish Church. Must say at the start, it's nice to have children back in the church as well. They bring a whole new level of life back to worship. So welcome back to all of our families and children this morning. We'll start our time, as has become the norm, with looking at our joint blether with our partner churches in Blair Daff, Chapel of Geary, Clooney, Money Mosque, Kintore, and Echt, and Midmar. So we'll sit back and watch the blether together.
Hello to everybody joining us for this service of worship. It's great to have you with us whenever and wherever you're watching it. It's lovely to be together with colleagues from around our area grouping. And as has become our custom, we're going to share a brief blether about what's happening for each of us. So I'm going to start with Sheila over in Echt and Midmar. Hello, Sheila.
Good morning and hello to everybody who's joining us online and in person in worship today. This morning in Echt and Midmar, we're celebrating baptism of little Angus, and that's going to be a great celebration. So we're looking forward to that. It's also the time of year when we begin our Blythewood shoebox collection, and the church has been doing that every year in the congregation and in the wider community. If anybody else would like to take part by contributing either a shoebox or individual items, then we would very much welcome any donations that are out there in our sister churches round about. We have more information, and more information is available from Blythewood Care online.
Thank you very much, Sheila. Over to you in Kemeny, Joshua.
Hi, everybody. It's nice to see everyone. Just a quick update on Kemeny. This week, we will be continuing with our lunch club on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 until 2 p.m., and this lunch club is a continuation of our support for vulnerable people during the pandemic. And also, if there's anybody who's in need of such support from our wider grouping, they're very welcome to come along and to take part in this lunch club as well. And in Kemeny Church, in our worship, we'll be continuing with our look at the book of Revelation. So that's all from Kemeny.
Thank you, Joshua. Chapel of Geary and Blair Duff, or Blair Duff and Chapel of Geary, it's Stella Gold. Hello, Stella.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to all who are watching. Today we're having the Harvest Thanksgiving service in Blair Duff Church, and all donations from last week in Chapel of Geary and this week will be going to the Cyrenians Mission, which is a charity in Aberdeen which provides care and support for people in the community experiencing homelessness and poverty. So hopefully there'll be a few neeps and tatties and whatnot available to go in to make some fine soup for those. And next week we look forward to seeing Tozi Shaimunda up in Chapel of Geary, and look forward to seeing him preach in person there. Thank you.
Lovely, Stella. And Tozi, talking about you, you preached for the first time in Kintore this past Sunday. So tell us how that went.
Yeah, according to the comments which I had, it went well. That's point number one. It was for the first time for me to preach in Scotland. At the same time, it was for the first time to preach in English. So, you know, I was a little bit nervous. For example, the pronunciation of some words, for example, the word refugee. Instead of using refugee, I was using refugee. I was using refugee. However, I was very happy that my audience could hear that what I wanted to say. I wanted to say refugee, not refugee. But however, there was a difference in the response of the people whom you preach to. So in Zimbabwe, when you preach, in order to get that the people are responding and they are getting what you are saying, sometimes they could clap hands, sometimes they could say, amen. But here now the people will be just
Wonderful. So I thought it was brilliant, and there's a challenge to each of our congregations. Next time you hear Tose preaching for you, make sure you at least nod your head occasionally, and cheering is allowed.
thank you.
Lovely. Ewan, over to you in Clooney and Monty Musk.
Hello folks, it's lovely to be able to speak to you. Just a couple of quick things. Like Echt and Midmar, this Sunday we are having a baptism, and it'll be my first baptism since lockdown, so it's something that I'm looking forward to as we welcome Francis to be baptised. And then next Sunday we resume our worship at Clooney after the month of September in Monty Musk, and we're having our Harvest Thanksgiving, a joint Harvest Thanksgiving Clooney Church. And in the church hall, the children of the Sunday school are going to be meeting to do some activities for the older folk of the community. And then at the end of all that, we're going to have teas and coffees and various bits to eat in the hall. So that's next Sunday's Harvest Thanksgiving, and we're looking forward to that.
Lovely, Ewan. Well, over at Kintore, it's our communion service in person today. And then from next week, for the month of October, we're also focusing on stewardship. So that'll be our stewardship month, which will include Harvest Festival, I think, on the 17th. But also just to mention, along with that if you are interested in climate matters, we have started a group called Sustainable Kintore, and you'll find details about them on our website. They're looking into the question of climate change, climate justice, and of course, leading up to COP26, all the things related to that. So if that's something that you're interested in, please do go along to our website and find out more about what that group is doing. I think that is all from us. We now go to worship. So come and let us draw near to God in worship and praise.
Just a piece of advance news, Reverend Tose is going to come to preach in here in Kemnay on the 24th of October, so you've been warned, okay? Okay. We enter into worship together now with singing our first hymn of praise, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the chance to gather together as your people. In this time of worship, draw us closer to you. Use this time to give us a real and profound sense of your love. Loving God, 1 week lies behind us, and another week is before us. As we reflect on the past week, we do ask for your forgiveness for all the times when we gave you and others less than our best. Help us to treat this new week as a fresh opportunity to serve you and to love those around us. As we go into this week, may we see the face of Jesus in everyone we meet. And today, as a sign of our faith in Jesus, we now join our voices together in the prayer that he taught to us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As I said at the start of our time, it's a joy to have children back in the church with us. And so now we're going to move into our children's time. And I think she's making her way down the stairs as I speak, that Heather is going to lead for us. So Heather, whenever you are ready.
Can all the children come and join me on the steps for the children's time? Yeah. Come on. You don't have to talk into the mic. Come on up. Come on. There we go. Come on, everybody. Come and see me. Come so you can see me and see what's behind me. So make sure you can see what's me and what's behind me. Welcome back, everybody. It's good to see everybody. I've seen you, but not in the church. Has anyone been in this building in the last month? A couple of you. Who's been in this building in the last year? That's right. She has been. And in the last two, it's been almost a year and a half since we have been here. But it is good to be back, and we have some new friends with us. So we're glad everyone's here. This is Cam's first time. He's learning how to sit up here. Okay, but something got moved. What is behind me? Who can tell me what is behind? Oh, okay, Ollie.
A crown.
Ooh, he sees a crown. Does anyone else see a crown? Thank you. That's my artwork. You will have a chance to make a lovely crown like that soon. Anyone see anything else that the crown is sitting on? Okay, Lewis.
A chair.
A chair. Does it look like something if we used our imagination? Is it just a normal everyday chair, or does it look a little fancier? What do you think if we used our imagination? Joshua's thinking? He's still thinking. Anyone think what it could look like, Lewis?
A throne?
A throne? Does anyone think it could look like a throne if we used our imagination? I think so. I thought so. Out of any of the chairs in here, I thought this looked the most like a throne. Okay. And who sits on thrones? Who sits? Yeah, Matthew.
The king.
The king or queen, right? So we'll use both. Very good. The king or queen can sit. We'll do that. And does anyone know who the king or queen of the whole United Kingdom is? Anyone know his or her name? Lewis.
Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth, that is right. I once got to go visit her mother's house. Anyone been up there in Caithness to Castle May? Can I find a picture here with one hand? It's very nice. So here is the castle that I went to get to go visit. And I got to go in the dining room. What do you do in dining rooms? What do? You eat, right? So there was a chair in the corner. And the tour guide said, would anyone like to sit in the chair? Well, do you think anybody volunteered? Mommy. Nobody did. They were all older Brits. They didn't want to volunteer. So I got selected as the young American to sit in the chair. So I sat in the chair. And you know what the tour guide said to me? When Queen Elizabeth visits, that's the chair she sits in. So I felt pretty special that I was sitting in the chair that Queen Elizabeth gets to sit in. So, you know, this isn't, I'm pretty sure Queen Elizabeth has never sat in this chair, but Reverend Michelson sits in that chair, and it's a pretty special chair. Would anyone like to volunteer to sit in the chair for me? Lewis, you're breaking the stereotype. You're volunteering. I like it. No, we know Lewis loves to volunteer. Okay, Lewis, come on up and wear the crown. Okay, I know your parents are going, oh, what are you doing? Okay. So do you think we could play a game? If he gives us an activity to do while he's sitting in the chair, we'll do it. But if he's not sitting on the throne, we don't have to do it. So you can choose to say an activity while you're sitting in it. I have veto power, so if it's inappropriate, I will say veto. Okay, do you have an activity, Lewis, that you think would be good for us to do? Okay, the king says to jump up and down, and he's sitting on his throne, so we need to do it. Okay, everybody, jump up and down three times. How about one, two, three? Okay. Okay, the king says, run in place for 3 seconds. One, two, three. Okay, so, ooh, he's going to move aside. Okay, what are you gonna ask us to do? Spin around in a circle. Oh, he's not on the throne. Thank you, Lewis. Give him a round of applause. Sit on down. Okay, yes, you can. Very good. Okay, so Lewis got to be our king. As Christians, is Lewis our king or is somebody else our king? Okay, you guys are thinking, as Christians, who is our king? Joshua.
Queen Elizabeth.
That is very good. She is still our queen. And as Christians, we have another king in our life. Lewis has the answer. Okay, Lewis.
God.
God is. The Bible says to us that God is our king. And that is what our parents are going to be learning about if they stay over here with Reverend Michelson. And we had an activity there where Lewis left the throne. Does our God ever leave the throne? And is he ever not in charge? Is Jesus ever not in charge? That's a hard question. Or is he always in charge? Matthew, what do you think? He is always in charge, and he is always, we'll put our little pretend Jesus here, he is always on the throne, so we do not have to be afraid. Even when scary things happen, like pandemics and things like that, we can trust in Jesus. Now, we haven't done this for a long time, but would you be willing to do a repeat after me prayer, and will all the adults join in too? Let's pray together. Okay, so repeat after me. Dear God, thank you that you are our King, that you are in control, and that we can trust in you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, we're going to do things a little bit different. We used to do Sunday school in this little room next door, and as you can imagine, it's kind of hard to get fresh air there with the pandemic. So we are going to go on a field trip, and we get to walk to the center. Any other adults at any time can always choose to go with us, and parents are going to be, at least one parent's going to be joining us, and we will gather to leave from the room next door. So at this point, I will ask our parents and our kids to go in there. But at first, I'm going to wait for one parent to enter that space. Haley or Martin, would you volunteer to be the first one to go in so I don't send a lot of children in a room with nobody there? Very good. Thank you, guys. It is good to be back together. Very good. Okay. Thank you.
This morning's reading from Scripture comes to us from Revelation chapter 4, reading the entirety of the chapter, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of God. And after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." Now once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, and rumblings, and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." This is God's word to us this morning. To the Lord be the praise and the glory forever. Let us pray. Lord, in this time of reflection upon your holy word, would you quiet our minds and our hearts? Would you block out all distractions, that we may focus upon what you are saying to us this morning? And may the words of my mouth, and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. So this week, we're finishing up this several-week series on the first part of the book of Revelation. Over the past several weeks, we've taken a focused look at, especially at chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, which contain seven letters to seven different congregations in the early church. These letters were composed by John, and who was in exile, we are told, on the island of Patmos. But the content of each letter was dictated by Jesus. And throughout this series, we have suggested that these seven letters, they give us special insights into how Jesus is with his church today. And these letters also give us an understanding of how the church is called to live in the world today. And these letters, I think, make it clear that from the start of the church's history, the church has been under pressure to conform to the ways of the world, to adjust its worship, to allow room for the veneration of other so-called gods. And we know from history and from chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation that these earliest Christians, they faced constant pressure to join in the widespread customs of the time, especially the customs of emperor worship, where people would go to the temple of Caesar in their respective cities, take a pinch of incense, and say, "Caesar Kyrios," Caesar is Lord. And they were also pressured to join in the worship of other pagan deities like Zeus and Apollo. And while Caesar may be no more, and while Zeus and Apollo may largely be consigned to the dustbin of history, Christians today are also under heavy pressure to compromise our faith with worshiping other gods. We don't call them Zeus or Apollo anymore, but there are still other gods with a lower G that compete for our loyalty with Jesus. Gods such as money, fame, power, and so on. And the pressure to conform and to compromise in the pursuit of things like money, fame, power, and influence, this pressure to conform, to pursue these things that everyone else values, this pressure can feel overwhelming. As overwhelming for us, perhaps, as the pressures faced by those in the early church. And the truth of the matter, I think, is that left to our own devices, by ourselves, under our own power, apart from God and apart from other believers, none of us could endure such pressure for very long. Eventually, all of us would be swept along in the current of the times. To live as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we're always in need of God's help. We're always in need of connection with each other. We always need a divine lifeline in this world to remain faithful as followers of Jesus. And I think that's precisely what today's passage from Revelation is all about. In today's passage, which was just read aloud a moment ago, God gave John the Apostle and these seven early churches and us a divine lifeline. This chapter, as we heard it read, is a depiction of the heavenly throne of God. This is what the biblical scholar Daryl Johnson calls the control room of the universe. I quite like that. But as is the case with all of our human language about God, as we hear this chapter read aloud and its description, this passage doesn't mean that God is actually seated on some sort of cosmic chair, necessarily. What we have in passages like chapter 4 with this grand depiction of the heavenly throne, this is an example of our human language straining with all of its might to its absolute limit to say something about the incomparable, the infinite glory of God. In the words of one of my teachers from university days, he said, all of our theological language, it's all an awkward and limited pointing at the greater reality of God. And so the description of God's appearance as jasper and carnelian does not mean that God looks exactly like these precious stones. Instead, this was the Apostle John's way of saying that God is more beautiful and he's grander than even the most precious things we could ever possibly hope to imagine. But in this vision of the heavenly throne, as amazing as it was, as beyond description as it must have been for John, John was shown, and so are we, a vision of what is really real. I like that. What is really real? And think for a moment how much this vision of the heavenly throne must have meant to John. Where was John again when he sent these letters? Patmos, a rocky, barren island. He was exiled to Patmos because of his faith in Jesus Christ. On the one hand, John was likely too effective for the local authorities to simply ignore him. And on the other hand, he was likely too popular just to be killed outright. They didn't want to make him into a martyr. So, in the words of the theologian Thomas Torrance, the Roman authorities decided to leave John to rot and bleach on the barren rock of Patmos. And amid John's isolation, his loneliness, and uncertainty about the future, he was given this awesome vision of a heavenly throne. And in this vision, John was reminded that God is truly in control. This vision of the heavenly throne must have meant so much to John. While he was in exile on Patmos, we know that the Roman Empire was tightening its grip on power, becoming more and more hostile to the young church. By AD 57, the Emperor Nero, we've heard of Nero, haven't we? He had started using Christians for blood sport in the gladiatorial arenas. During that time, Peter and Paul were also martyred. And by AD 95, the Emperor Domitian was actively persecuting the church, and it's believed that during Domitian's reign, more than 40,000 of John's fellow Christians were martyred. It was not an easy time for the early church. By themselves, all these things, all these difficulties, all these challenges could have led John to believe that the heavenly throne was empty or had been usurped, and that life is just a long succession of chaotic events, and we're left to hold on for dear life as best we can. And isn't this how the world is often depicted in the news today? While there are some occasional news stories about positive events in the world, you click on any of the major news channels, and the headlines in the news often leave us feeling tired, anxious, fearful, and maybe even depressed. Anybody else ever feel this way when they read or watch the news? Yes. There's the old saying, I think, in the news industry, if it bleeds, it leads. We have this unhealthy obsession with bad news. And these days, I think we all face a very real battle on many fronts with a pervasive culture of fear. And in times like these, we are like the Apostle John and those early Christians in the sense that we too, today, we need a strong reminder of what is really real. And God offers this kind of reminder to us in this fourth chapter of Revelation. At the risk of being blunt, which you're probably used to by now, we need to pay as much attention to Scripture as we pay to the news. We need to pay as much attention to Scripture as we pay to the news. If we spend, say, 30 minutes watching, reading, or listening to the news, whatever medium we prefer, we should spend at least, 15 minutes in Scripture and in prayer, more if possible. One of my favorite theologians, a fellow named Karl Barth, referenced him many times before. He's known for a quip when he's talking about the way of the Christian life in the modern world is to have the newspaper in one hand. And what's in the other hand? The Bible, right? We don't pull away from the world. We stay engaged with the world, but we stay rooted in God's truth. So at the start of today's passage, John writes, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven." And the word we translate as behold literally means, "Look at that!" Right now, that's one of Cameron's favorite phrases to say around our house when something new or flashy comes on TV or outside. "Look at that!" And that's the kind of feeling at the start of this passage. It's a word meant to draw our attention. John is asking us to give our full attention to the content of this vision of the heavenly throne. For in this vision of the throne, we see several things. We see God's beauty, an appearance like jasper and carnelian. God's mercy, the rainbow around the throne reminds us of God's covenantal faithfulness to his promises. We see God's majesty, 24 thrones and elders. Guess who else in the ancient world had 24 bodyguards around the throne? Caesar. God is the true king. We see imagery of God's power. The sea of glass symbolizes the calming of chaotic powers intent on creation's destruction. We see God's worthiness. The four living creatures calling out nonstop, "Holy, holy, holy," and the 24 elders falling down in worship before the heavenly throne, proclaiming, "Worthy are you, O Lord." Let us not lose sight of what's depicted here. What is depicted around the throne is an act of worship. an act of never-ending worship. Because it says those four creatures, they never cease to proclaim the holiness of God. And every time they proclaim the holiness of God, what do the elders do? They cast their crowns. Right? So all of heaven is an act of eternal worship. I think we need to keep that in mind when sometimes we feel like worship goes on too long on Sunday morning. Friends, this is just a warm-up act for what is to come. Cool, indeed. So we see this grand, perfect picture of God's true majesty, God as the true King. I think back to a story I heard this last week when I was preparing for this, when the French King Louis XIV had passed away. It was a grand state funeral in the massive cathedral, and the casket of the deceased king was covered in every kind of regal regalia you could imagine, gold everywhere, right? Majesty, power, grandeur. And then the priest stood up, looked down at the casket, and said, "My friends, only God is great. Only God is great." So this image of the throne with God's beauty, God's mercy, God's majesty, God's power, God's worthiness, all of these are meant to remind us that God is in control. And we need to stay rooted in these great truths. And we need to take time to let John's vision seep into the very depths of our souls, to change our outlook on life. So as we go into another week, as we face the news of another week, wondering what is to come, we can stay engaged with what is happening in our world, but we must stay also, even more so, rooted in Scripture. May John's vision become our vision. And come what may God help us to remember what truly is really real. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we continue to participate in the eternal worship of God here and now with singing our next song of praise, King of Kings, Majesty. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give my peace to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." In that spirit of faith, today we pray for world leaders and the deliberations at the United Nations General Assembly. In their deliberations, and in the effects of decisions made, may your peace truly reign. Ruler of all nations, we pray for the cessation of violence in this world. We long for the day, the great and eternal day, when swords will be beaten into plowshares. In your mercy, descend afresh upon the many corners of this world in need of your saving love and abiding peace. We pray for your children in Myanmar, near the Indian border, who've had to flee their homes because of increased fighting between the military and militia forces opposed to them. We pray for all those whose daily lives are dictated by survival amidst war and terror. We pray as well for all of your children in Afghanistan and for the shocking brutality shown by the Taliban against those they are meant to serve. We pray especially for all in Afghanistan who are oppressed, targeted, and harmed because of their gender. Loving God, you have fashioned each of us in your image. You call us always to care for the vulnerable in our midst, to welcome strangers, to look out for our neighbors. We pray for your children gathered at the southern border of the United States, who are seeking entrance for the purposes of protection and asylum, including so many people from Haiti affected by last month's earthquake. We confess to feeling horror-stricken by the photos we have seen of people being rounded up and whipped like cattle. Lord, in your mercy, help us to hold accountable those who are responsible for such inhumane treatment of fellow humans. Let us all repent for all the ways we fail to see you in one another. And may all who are fleeing violence and trauma find people and communities around them and places inside of them that nurture, strengthen, and give them hope. Lord Jesus, your love is the kind of love that can bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. In the week to come, let us hold fast to the good news of your love. May it be our beacon of light as we find our way as your disciples. We pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Closing hymn of praise to the Lord, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." we go forth into another week. May John's vision of the heavenly throne fill us. May we remember that God is on his throne. God is in control. Go forth from this place today and share the good news, this good news of Jesus Christ, this good news that God is in control with all who we meet, in thought, in word, and in deed. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon all of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore. Amen.